Bali 92.3, it's people helping people. Welcome to the show. My name is Greg. I got my co-host Larry with me.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to you.
Yeah.
Really. Because
really.
You were, last week we were off.
Right.
But this week we have a very special guest because we like to bring back old friends. It's a new radio station. We've always been on the AC 1170 for many, many years. And now we're officially on an FM radio station. So we're bringing back some of our favorite guests. And the first official guest in this studio with us, Sherry Higgs, Drivers for Survivors, one of our favorites.
Sherry. And congratulations on how exciting this is.
Yeah,
really.
It is.
It's different, right? It's a little bit of a different vibe in the building.
I liked the other. I like this one as well. I think it's really cool.
I think it's a little brighter, a little less dungeon-esque.
Mm-hmm. It's very calming, but yet in a modern, trendy kind of way.
Yeah, in a Silicon Valley kind of way, right?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
So let's just fill everyone in for those who have never listened to the show. We have to assume that everyone listening has never heard the show. This show is once a week where we just bring in some of our friends from the community doing wonderful things, whether they are nonprofit, whether they are volunteer-based. It's those that need a bigger platform to get the word out for doing wonderful things. And it's no better example of this than Sherry from Drivers for Survivors. So let's tell people what it is the Drivers for Survivors is.
Well, Drivers for Survivors gives free rides for cancer patients with companionship to all of their medical oncology-related appointments. And that is our primary focus, is we want to make sure that people that are going through treatment, or even if there's a suspicious finding, that they know that there is an organization out there that can help them take care of the logistics of getting them there, and also the friendship piece of it. You know, people connect, and it's really nice.
Now, for those who might not be familiar with the story, this happened because, out of necessity, essentially, because you were living a sort of a situation that kind of made you understand something that might be able to help.
Yes, yes. Correct? I had been diagnosed with something called inflammatory breast cancer, and I went through, in 2010, a big year, absolutely. There was some rides that I struggled with, and I saw a lot with other folks too, you know, just going through and going to the doctor appointments and watching people dealing with things on their own. And it was just very evident that this was needed. It's very simple in terms of how it works and all, but simple but completely necessary to get to your treatments. And when I went through it and I struggled, I thought to myself, you know, there's just got to be a way that we can all come together and help one another. And that was when everything evolved, and I just went all in, got some help, and here we are.
And 7 years later.
Yeah, I was just going to say, not only have you done amazing things, and not only has your Drivers for Survivors thrived, but you seem to be growing and getting more involved and bigger, and I'd love to hear about that. Like, what's happening now with Drivers for Survivors?
It is very exciting. So, for a matter of fact, we just sent out the annual campaign and crunched the numbers, and it's phenomenal what's happening. So we've been in operation, I've been working on this 7 years, but the organization itself will be formally 5 years this December.
Wow.
So over 4 years, you could say, we've done 11,500 rides.
Wow.
And at this point, we've serviced 300 clients.
That's amazing.
It is, actually. It really is, because you're talking deep needs. Radiations are every day.
And you're not a company of 50 people.
No, we're not.
People.
No, we're not. For a matter of fact, I brought the current stats that we had in our driver base currently.
Yeah.
We have a total of active drivers standing at 112. Now, that has varied over the time. You know, people move, or we have a lot of survivors that step in and become drivers. And we're always looking to get new volunteer companion drivers that can get engaged in this, because it's so cool. You really do feel that you're helping another human being, and they're so appreciative. I remember I was. You know, you look at the people that give you the rides as your heroes. So we're really working towards ramping up the current area. And then there's the expansion. So that's what's going on as
well. That's the next phase?
Well, it started July 1st, and I only just sent out the press release. We got the contract. It was incredibly exciting. You should have seen us all. We were dancing in the office because we really wanted to make this happen, and lo and behold, here it is. You know, the board of directors, it gives everybody this sense of accomplishment that they've been investing their time in something that truly is remarkable. And you hear the main things that come through constantly are, what a simple idea, you know? And the other thing that we hear a lot is how much it's valued and needed. We get calls from everywhere asking for help. We just got a call earlier today from a gal. She lives in Texas. Her dad lives in Stockton, and she wanted to get her dad some help. So that is not our service area. Not at this time. Right now, it's Fremont, Newark, and Union City. And now with the expansion, we have gone into Hayward, San Leandro, San Lorenzo, Castro Valley, Ashland, and Cherryland. So we're now a total of nine.
That's big.
Nine areas, that's not big. Just three. Yeah, it is big. And kind of have a strategy going on in terms of what that looks like. So the thought is to start with Hayward big time.
Yeah.
You know, because Hayward is closest to Tri-City, which is the area we serve, until we can continue building up the volunteer companion drivers.
Is that
drivers.
Because you have people available to drive in those areas? Is that
yes, right now, well, we're working on that. So here's, right now we have the Tri-City drivers, the 112.
Yeah.
Actually, one of those drivers actually does live in Hayward. But we went to our first Hayward event. And we joined the chamber. The Hayward Chamber of Commerce was, they know of me because I had talked to them, didn't join them right away because I wanted to wait until it made sense. Well, it makes sense now. And we had a conversation, and they got us into a boothing event the very next night of joining. I thought that was really, they had to hustle. I guess somebody canceled, and, you know, they called us and said, you're in luck. And when we got there, what I liked and what made us all so happy was we're setting up our booth and people are walking and a lot of people stopped and a lot of people chatted and I felt a different vibe. Every city has a different kind of culture, you know, and you could feel them embracing us. They really love the concept of what we're doing, and there's a lot of need there. And some of these areas that I mentioned, there's a lot of needs there as well. So we signed up 15 people that night.
That's crazy.
You know,
for drivers.
Now, some of them will come through and some of them may not, you know, depending, but all, you know, 15 is for one night is pretty good.
That's great.
Where they commit to doing this, and they all, you know, said that this is something that they could see working out really well in their community. So that was nice.
Yeah, I mean, that. Go ahead, Larry. I thought you were going to jump in.
No, I just took a breath.
Oh, because I mean, it looked like you were about to say something.
I have a lot to say, but go ahead.
I'm one of those people that if I feel like I need to do something sometimes, you know, and I just don't know what it is, it's like I just need, maybe I can, if I have one day available, what can I do to help someone? I think there are a lot of people that just want to do something. They want to do something good with their time.
They do, and that's so evident. And because this is a linear thing, it's undiluted. It's simply, you know, picking up the patients from their home, taking them to their appointment, sitting with them in the waiting room. If it's a really long appointment, there's other ways to make that work. But the primary thing is making sure that the patients are 100% comfortable and the friendship happens. But there are other things. I did a posting for some assistance in other ways as well, especially given the expansion. And I got a message from a guy who's a teacher, and he actually lives pretty far off, and he's coming to the area, and he says, you know, I just want to come help you. I'm watching what's going on here, and I have a couple days I'm going to be spending with my son, and then I have a few days to myself, and I want to just swing by and see what I can do to help you. It was awesome. So he's made that plan. The things we need right now are 100% folks that are interested in doing grant writing, for example. That is a very grant writing is a very special talent, and you constantly as a nonprofit.
Let's find somebody. What do we need? What do you need from that?
From a grant writer,
yeah.
Just to have a little bit of experience with nonprofits. There's a vocabulary or the desire to learn, but I would right now it would be great to get some folks who have some experience underneath their belt.
That book, you know, that book, Nonprofit for Dummies, you know, there's all
like
computing like for dummies or whatever. Go buy the book if you are interested in doing this, because you can learn a lot just reading that.
And I'm also interested in building a phone app now for the drivers, having something that would be amazing to have that. It would somebody who's familiar with HIPAA compliancy, because of course we are dealing with cancer patients.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, you know how like Uber or Lyft or whatever, the app it simplifies the process.
Yes.
So anything you could do to make it easier on the drivers, right, would be a good thing.
Yes.
You smiled. Why?
Well, I smiled because a lot of times people will say, "Oh, you're like Uber," and it's a huge compliment. But there are some big differences, and we're not just a drop and roll.
Yeah.
You know, we bring people in. But conceptually, the modernizing the process is definitely something that Uber has set a standard that way, and it's a cool element to be able to get the drivers to be able to just look at a phone app and have a general idea of what it is they want to do, and on a push of a button, be able to say, okay, I'll take the ride. If, you know, if they're in a hurry, I can see that being a great thing. There's still, though, going to need to be the conversation.
Oh, of course.
Because,
especially for something like this.
Right, exactly. It will never be fully, fully automated.
No.
And I can only take it so far.
And you really probably don't want it to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to temper the decisions and make sure that it makes sense for what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was wondering about, how do you determine what cities qualify for what you're doing? In other words, you just opened up several different cities
in the nine areas.
East Bay.
The grantors make that decision, basically. So we have grants through the CTC. We have grants through the Alameda County Transportation Commission, and also through something called a 5310. And these grants are government grants, and they are helping us greatly with things like our payroll side, our administrative side, and some of the other items. And that way the funding that comes in, we can apply to more on the program side, you know, so.
I love that.
But they make that determination. We're part of the Alameda funding.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it's Alameda areas.
So
at this time.
To sort of take that direction for a moment, to go back to the volunteer side.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's always going to be a need. There's always going to be, unfortunately, sadly, people will get sick, and there's going to be a need for, whether it's what you're doing or something else, mm-hmm. there's always going to be sick people, right?
Yeah.
But there's this, I think, growing community of people that are more sensitive to it now because of maybe something they've gone through with their own family and they want to help. How would these people begin that process to see what they could do to help? Would it just be reach out to you directly?
So a lot of people prefer to email initially when they want to volunteer. So they could email volunteer@driversforsurvivors.org. I would highly encourage you to leave your phone number, though, because we may want to talk to you rather than leave you this elaborate email.
Yeah.
So info@driversforsurvivors.org, and just to be clear, the four is spelled out F-O-R. It's not numeric.
Yeah.
So, So that is one way to get a hold of us. And there are so many different things that we need. And another example that just came to mind is, because of the expansion, having ambassadors help represent Drivers for Survivors in our new areas. You know, there's a lot of boothing opportunities that are going to come up that have already come up, like the one I just talked about with the Chamber. We have one in San Leandro. We're going to have things in Castro Valley. And we're still a small but mighty army. Everybody's incredibly productive. But we're at a point now where, especially with the evolution, we're looking for people who are also incredibly passionate about this, perhaps some survivors who understand what it is this mission statement is all about and want to, you know, contribute. And really, after having come through something like a cancer diagnosis, they want to be able to give back. And do you mind if I just read the mission statement?
I was actually going to ask you to do it.
Okay.
So good.
So it's been changed. It's more generic.
Okay.
Because it was, before it was just on the Tri-City.
Simplified.
And it's simplified. So the mission statement is, Drivers for Survivors provides free transportation service and supportive companionship for ambulatory cancer patients from suspicious findings through completion of treatments. And that, ambulatory, meaning that those folks need to be able to get from the car inside the medical provider's office. All we can do is provide an arm, so we can't lift them out of the chair. They can have a cane, or they can have a folding chair if need be, but the drivers are people in the community, and they don't have the lift, so there's other resources that we can provide to folks that are needing that level of help. Yeah. But that is the new mission statement.
I love it. Yeah. And it is very simple and direct.
Yes, it is.
Which is good.
Yep.
For people to pick up on these things.
And yeah, and they can get these brochures for our organization. I say these brochures, I'm looking at one. But if you click on our website, which is www.driversforsurvivors.org, there is a updated brochure under almost all the links you see. If you look under volunteer, there's a link for the new brochure. If you click on client, you'll see a link for the new brochure, and there's one that says either business partners or medical providers. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there's the same exact brochure there. So you can print one on the fly, and it has more information too.
Sure. Can you share with us maybe a story of somebody or something to give people a little bit of a feel for the process? Like somebody who becomes ill, right? Somebody who all of a sudden now has treatments or part of their lives. Can you give us a little bit of a step-by-step as to how this might work?
There's a few stories. One is a man who's visually impaired who needed to undergo cancer treatments. So we were able to give him help. He was incredibly thankful. And the cool thing about this guy is he also has given us information on how to work with the visually impaired people and educated us. And we're always looking to educate the volunteers in our organization on different scenarios. Another scenario is a gal who she always tells us she loves us. And she's going through cancer, as is her husband.
Wow.
So she's literally, going through her treatment and then going home and taking care of her husband. Another one is a gal who's going through treatment, and she has a daughter who can't drive yet and needs to be taken places, and she's a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she's raising her 15-year-old daughter, going through treatments and being a mom to her 15-year-old. So
they basically, they know I have to go for a treatment, radiation or chemo on Friday, so they call you they say, is there anyone who, is that how it works?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So they'll give us a call, and or the medical provider will call us and let us know. So we hear about it through referrals, we hear about it directly, and once we get the phone call, we act immediately. You know, we make sure that they get the application. Things happen really quick.
I would imagine.
Very quick.
Especially how you work. I'm sure there's no rest.
I got kind of the New York mentality,
yeah,
don't I?
Yeah, you do.
I am very, yeah. And the office is at a point where we can be flexible, and that's very, very nice. I mean, we tell people if it's a distant ride, you know, if they're going all the way, and a distant ride would be San Francisco, because we go 60 miles in any direction from our 94538 Fremont headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
So even with the expansion, that does not change. So that's going to bring somebody who lives in, say, Castro Valley, you still take that from 94538 60 miles.
Okay.
But a long distance ride for us would be, say, like San Francisco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? If you're having a medical appointment in San Francisco, that we will tell them, try not to make the appointment at peak times, or negotiate with your doctor and see if you let them know you're working with us, and try to get an appointment that's more between 11 and 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the drivers are more apt to be able to take that ride. So we make all of that clear to them. We get it going. We have the volunteer call the client a day before the appointment, introduce themselves, and basically find out if there's anything we need to know, like if they're smell sensitive.
Right.
You know, they might say, you know, please don't wear perfume. We coach them not to anyway, but there's little conversations, and it's just an example of
I
get headaches, please don't play music, or whatever it is, or can you pick me up, can you drive up, and here's the code to get in, or whatever the situation. So the driver and that client have at least established a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point forward, what happens usually is people make the connection, and they'll call and they'll say, I know I said I could only give this one ride, but you know what? I really enjoyed my time with Mr. Smith, and I want to be able to always be there.
I would imagine
that
people would generate some sort of relationship.
Yeah, it happens quite often.
Yeah.
It's very cool to see that happen. Yeah. And we find out a little bit of, pardon me, we find out a little bit of something that have to do with interests from both the client and the volunteer, so that we can matchmake them, and they can have, you know, some things to talk about when we're able. You know, if there's multiple people that are interested in giving the ride, we're able to do that.
Yeah.
What's the most effective way that you've found to get the word out there about your organization? What works best for you? I don't know if you can say that.
Okay, presentations, number one.
And where do you go for these?
I go anywhere people will let me.
Okay.
So presentations is the single top method that we end up getting people to sign up for drivers or people learn about us. Did you say volunteers or clients? Which side did you go on?
No, clients.
Sorry. Clients is medical providers.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. So
no, clients is medical providers.
Okay.
Volunteers is presentation.
Right.
Clients is also word of mouth. They're based off of people who have already experienced it, and now the internet too. So, and then for back to volunteers, it's presentations, it's pull tabs. So we have interns from time to time, and we ask them to put these pull tabs in coffee shops or just different locations, and people will see them. And then there's a site called Nextdoor.com that you as a nonprofit can't sign up yet on your own, but you can personally post a little something. And we did a post on with a flyer, and we got about five volunteers off that the next day. So
I was going to say, you're talking about volunteers. You talk about the actual patients. What about people who just want to donate money? Do you do that?
Yeah, we had a guy at the Hayward event, and there was something about his family. Well, I don't tell you, everybody's family has a story.
Yeah.
I mean,
we were doing that earlier.
We've talked about the fact that it's not just epidemic. In my opinion, it's pandemic. Yep. So there's literally, I don't ever hear anybody say, I've never been through this. I don't understand it.
You find one of those people, it's like, it's
I don't hear
rare.
It.
Finding an animal. Yeah, I don't
it is,
either.
It
I've
is
never,
very rare.
Everybody
has
absolutely.
So this gentleman had something very traumatic happen, and he wanted to hear everything. He was very engaged, and he said, you know, right now, no, but I do want to donate. So what we told him to do was just go to our website. There's a donate tab. The thing about donating, I do prefer to have the donations mailed versus putting it in through something like our donor site when if at all possible, only because, you know, they take a percentage.
Yeah.
And when you're a nonprofit, when you see somebody give a healthy donation, let's say,
and
they take a cut of it, you're like, darn, you know. That's big. I know that, it's the cost of having the
No, but I agree with you. Something about that.
It's like a credit card.
So we have our address on the website, but it's and for people to memorize this may not make sense, but you can go to the website too. But it's 39270 Paseo Padre Parkway, number 355, Fremont, California, 94538. So that's our mailing address. And if you're interested in giving a donation, obviously that would
for those with a magnetic memory.
Great, great help.
I would never. I could remember maybe one letter in that.
I know that's what the website.
Yeah. Right.
Just because
forgot
I
got it already.
My brain doesn't work.
Go to the website.
But yeah,
exactly.
Well, and we did an annual campaign. We do one once a year, and I'm going to be honest. We skipped it last year because we were so busy. Like unheard of, probably to admit that, but we did. So we're doing it this year. We're playing catch up. We're trying to set a minimum to raise $10,000 on our annual campaign, and we have a annual campaign letter that we can also provide that really summarizes everything. And I didn't tell you guys this yet. Do you remember me mentioning to you that everything just sort of happens serendipitously with the timing, and we went through this whole thing about, and I really mean that. I get goosebumps when I think about it. So right on the heels of the expansion getting approved, the guy next to us in his office, it's a small, tiny office, he's moving out.
Okay.
So now we get to expand our office at the same time that we have this expansion, which we really need, because our office is it's 400 square feet.
Okay.
And wow, so this is going to give us extra, it's going to, sometimes when we have interns in, we literally have TV trays. So it's the truth. So we have the program coordinator, and then if we need data entry help, they'll pull up a TV tray next to him and work on the laptop, you know, and then we've got – so it's cool because what this means by having that little extra space is that there's going to be a little lunch room. It'll be modest,
that's
right?
Cool. Yeah.
And they're laughing at me because I even told them I want to put a cot with a screen around if you get a headache where you can just lay down and close your eyes for 10 minutes.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, the whole thing is – as a nonprofit, you're helping other people. You need to take care of your own.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
you're right,
as a nonprofit, and this is just my opinion from being in for profit, I've never worked so hard in my life. So having some of these niceties makes that pleasurable.
You know what? You're going to look back at this time. It's going to be very special for you when you guys, you know, expand, because you will ultimately. It's going to happen. So you look back at all these times when you're on trays and all that stuff, and it's really going to be cool to look back and say, wow, humble beginnings, you know.
You know, I could get emotional, but I'm gonna swallow it.
I want you to do that.
You're always allowed to get emotional with us. Don't feel like you have.
Yeah, it's true.
No, but if it's just looking even from when it started in that first month, it was 33 rides.
Wow.
You know? 33 rides.
That's unreal.
And then to look at what's happening now and to see the community, you know, because in the past I used to hear people say, I don't understand, you know, can't their families help them? That's a common thing for people to say. A lot of people don't understand that not everybody has that scenario.
You don't have family near them.
And not only that, maybe you're more senior and you've lost a lot of people. Who knows what? So anyway, it's very emotional to see it get from people kind of just missing a little bit in the beginning, a little bit, right? Again, they didn't know who I was back then, right? Mm-hmm. And now having the awareness increase and having people understand and really feeling people getting involved and engaged and appreciating helping cancer patients, because this is something sometimes people just don't think about.
It's true. I feel there is a certain, when we always say knowledge and being informed is probably the most important thing. I feel like once people kind of get to the root of what it is, they're a little more understanding, and then they might want to get more involved. But what you're talking about, this sort of organic growth and seeing from a year and a half or whatever it was we first saw you to where you guys are now,
it's crazy,
it's
right?
Remarkable.
Yeah, that's huge.
And I really think it has a lot to do with not only the fact of the passion and, you know, the honesty, integrity you run it with, but also it goes to show you that people do want to do inherently, they want to do good things.
They do.
And they really, really look at, like, for something like this, I'm looking at your events coming up. For example, the pancake breakfast in December, right? That's right around your anniversary.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah, exactly. It is. It's going to be our 5-year anniversary. You're
so
right.
People
will
come have
you're
a pancake breakfast. They'll come and they'll think, oh, I'm bringing the kids. They'll get pancakes. Yeah. Santa's there. And then next thing you know, half of them will be like, you know what? I'm going to do it.
The police department has already said they're going to support it again this year, be behind it. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think the fire department might too. And so that's really cool because it really is a community event. And then the black and white ball in April is our more formal event. There are only two main events right now. We're going to need more in the newer areas.
Yeah.
But my plan is with the black and white ball of April of, you know, incorporating some of the new areas into that. And we'll but yes, with the growth, we'll probably outgrow that venue, or we'll have to separate it out.
It's happening. I'm watching it happen.
So I'm even looking for folks in that, you know, sense to be, you know, partners in terms of working, you know, in partnership with the party planning. There's so many opportunities.
Yeah,
with I mean, you could if you do well in it, call me.
What's your skill? You know, if you're maybe you're a wedding planner, maybe you're an event planner.
Yeah, anything else?
Something you could donate.
And the culture is equally as important to what we're doing. And I just really quickly want to say it's incredibly, and from day one, I wasn't just creating an organization that had to do with helping cancer patients solely. I'm also creating a culture of kindness and a culture of people helping one another. And, you know, it's very important for all of us to, in our office, for example, when we interview, we tell the folks that we interview, you know, what's more important than this resume right now? Is who you are as a person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come in, we want to make sure that we're all going to get along and that you at least have an optimistic outlook on life. And it really does make a difference. And it's part of why people get attracted to the organization, whether they are staff or whether they're volunteers. They love the culture. And that's, you know, part of, if you've got something positive to bring to the table, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, that's also a good point. Not everybody is a fit. It's okay to turn some people away, maybe, because they might, maybe it's their intentions, maybe it's just there are other reasons. But I do
like
think
any business, you need
you
to
can't
be.
Just take anybody who walks in off the street, because unfortunately some people don't have the right intentions. That's, and that's sad to say, but it's very real. And not to say some people are more self-motivated, or maybe they're doing it for the wrong reasons, or maybe they just think they want to donate their time, but they're not really going to provide anything more than you already have. it's okay to say no to people, but it's also, you know, you never want to turn away help, I guess, as somebody who needs as much as you can get.
We are a sponge.
Yeah. You'll find something.
We're a sponge. We'll find
something for you.
And I'm actually having conversations with churches now too.
Mm-hmm, that's great.
So we're joining more of the chambers, and you know, and all, but all of that costs money. You know, the chambers, that is. You know, every step we're making, and then we've got a new telephone system, because the phone system we had all the way up until now was something a neighbor gave me. He had a conference of dinosaur phones. So we went and got the, what are they called, a voice, like an internet type phone.
Oh, the VoIP.
VoIP, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't know what that, yeah. And that's working out so much better. You know, there's so many things that we're doing to modernize. But, you know, without boiling the ocean, we're just doing it like one piece at a time. We're just, you know, improving things, and it's been really nice. We want to become somewhat, you know, paperless, because that's great. And then we want to be able to do as much as we can remotely if we need to.
Would you ever extend out of the state? Because this could, to me, I look
at
something like
yourself.
So
you're
capable of making this an international
I will tell you this. We are building a model that is absolutely successful. And it depends on how much the community embraces it, quite honestly. But I will tell you this. Everybody's got it made right now with this, because, you know, that especially people that are afflicted with cancer and their families and friends, because this is definitely a safety net. It is a safety net that can go even higher than it's gone. I've been working on this for 7 years solid, and you know, I can tell you, and now we've got all these different people working on it. When it went into operation as a 5 years solid, there is so much potential for this.
Yeah, I agree.
So much.
I was going to ask, if you don't mind, emotionally, you're so invested in this. This is your life, essentially. Does it ever become too much? Do you ever think, like, I can't handle this today? Because you don't strike me as somebody who does, but you're human.
I think about the evolution and what that looks like, and obviously there's going to be more people involved, and there already is.
Yeah.
But in a more tangible way, that will happen, and I welcome that when the time comes. I kind of come from the school of thought of, it just has to be the right person, right people. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just, you know, as long as it's the right people and there's a sense of respect and honoring what's going on, you know, I think that's very, very probable, and it will happen, absolutely. Yeah. I'm excited about that, to be honest with you, because I've always said from day one, I want this to outgrow me.
Yeah.
And I do. I want this.
It's a legacy.
Yeah, I want this to outgrow me, because that's a good thing.
I agree.
Something you can be proud of.
When you're looking at people, do you find that the post-cancer patients, because they've been through it, they know the trauma involved, are very, I mean,
they're the best. They're the best. We have a lot of drivers that
very
are
very passionate, I would think.
They're the best, absolutely. And for a matter of fact, I'm thinking, like, later on down the road, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, so this is a loose conversation.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, there's folks that could potentially, you know, maybe we could have chapters, you know, and people could lead up their own chapter. So, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I've done some research on the, you know, on the back end here. We're not, of course I did, yeah. But I'm not ready to have, like, those conversations yet. But I will tell you, I think that this could be an incredible opportunity for someone that's a survivor that wants to do exactly what I did in their area, and work on partnering. And I've had, you know, a few conversations, very dynamic conversations about that, but it's not anything that can be put into effect yet. And the reason it can't be put into effect is we still have to take our policies and our procedures and tighten that up more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to, you know, there's going to be an investment in that initially,
yeah,
obviously. So I will tell you, I've got a lot of people in my ear encouraging things, but I'm a cautious gal.
You're smart.
and I want to continue building my relationships in our current area, so that when that happens, you know, we're real tight, and that's happened in the Tri-City, but now all of these new areas are fairly new to us. I've done some cultivating of the landscape, so to speak. So that's definitely got it to where, for example,
mm-hmm,
I don't want to say which ones, but there's a medical provider who recently said, hey, we're going to let our employees select potentially your organization to do some volunteer work, right? So there's the synergy is really happening And a lot of all of that is very important. There, it's like a puzzle. Yeah. All the pieces have to go in place, and we are, you know, I'm going to be humble here and say we're 50% there. We get the other 50%. We get it all tightened up. I can come back to you guys and say, well, if we're 11,000, we've got 9 areas now. I can say, I don't know, we're at 50,000 rides.
Yeah.
And when I can say that and talk about, you know, doubling the clients or tripling even potentially, that's when I know that we're ready to lay the foundation for something like that. But it is a very strong possibility.
Well, foundationally, you have to be strong in order to grow out, right? So in order to do that, you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
Make sure we're buttoned up so well so that it's scalable to the next level. But who are Larry and I if we're not pushing the envelope a little bit? I'm just curious because I watch, you know, you come across with people in your life and you look at certain individuals and you say they're, you know, good people, great person, probably wouldn't be good doing X, Y, and Z. This person's great at this, but not other things. But there's certain people you almost feel like that whatever happened prior to that incident, in your case, it was getting that cancer, was just sort of experience. But your real, the real purpose, the thing that's going to have the greatest impact happened from that day on.
I could tell you stories about that would give you goosebumps. I know without any hesitancy, without even blinking my eye, that this is something that was meant to be for me.
Yeah, I agree. I only know you for a couple of years.
It was very obvious. It was made very clear to me that this was something that I should pursue. It was not my plan, and yet here I am. And I'm not sorry at all. And it is a lot of work, I will tell you, and I am looking for more partnerships, and I am looking for more people to get, you know, vested and not just being a voyeur, but actually participating, doing sponsorships for the events, for example, having tables, you know, and, you know, introducing corporate partnerships, which, I just read something which surprised me. Sometimes I get these fundraising updates and they talk statistics and they said corporations only give something like, I want to say 5% towards nonprofits of And, you know, I would imagine that there could be a great partnership with corporations in something like this because especially like auto dealerships and, you know, green oriented kind of health minded companies and you know, everybody should care about something and take on. And I know that a lot of corporations and companies are moving in the direction of having more of a causes. You do see more of that, and it's important. Just like with me, one person who prior to doing this, I don't have a lot to speak of, you know, but look what's happening, because it was partially wanting to show you anybody can do something, anybody can make a difference. That's a very powerful message.
Yeah.
And the same thing with companies and, you know, different institutions. There's so much messaging that we need to share on a larger level so that people realize they can make a difference and that being vested in things is incredibly important to keep our world operating in a way that's healthy and sustainable. You know, I think that's very powerful messaging, and I think that's a responsibility we all should have to some degree, even for children.
Yeah, I think children we should start them young.
It's important.
It has to happen. It's all in values. Mm-hmm. Our whole lives are really built around our own values. Yeah. Right?
I want to say this publicly, if you don't mind. I really want everyone to know that has gotten involved with Drivers for Survivors, how thankful we are for you getting involved and taking a chance, and especially the pioneers who jumped in the beginning because they didn't know it would get to this point, and they took a risk. They took a chance. And look what's happening. You know, I'm very much, very much appreciative of those types of people who saw what it was and understood the value of all of this. It really means a lot. In my lifetime, I don't know how I'll ever repay those contributors. I really don't.
I don't think they want to be repaid.
Yeah,
you're repaying them by talking and thanking them, and they're repaid by knowing that they did something that important.
I love what my daughter's seeing in all this too. You know, she's a teenager, and
tell us about that, because I don't want to pry into personal life, but it's interesting because you're a unit, your daughter and
we are.
How does she deal with this?
She loves Drivers for Survivors very much. She's very proud of it. She for her, she one day, and this happened recently, she's never said this to me before.
How old, real quick? I just want to make sure the listeners know.
She was 15, and she is 15.
Okay,
it was,
15,
but
okay.
She had, let's see, was she 14 and a half? I'm not sure. But she came up to me, and she says, Mom, you know, kind of grabbed my hand, I need to talk to you. I've never told you this before, but I need you to know that I think you're one of the strongest women I've ever known, and I can't believe that you've gotten through all of this, and you've dealt with some of the challenges in your life.
You probably lost
it. And I did. I'm losing it telling you.
Yeah,
because, I mean, just having her eyes, she's never said that to me before that way. You know, she's gotten wowed, but she's never put it all together in the way that it just, yeah, it, my heart just, you know, she's a really good kid. She's an artist. She's very talented. She's very smart. And, you know, when I got affected, she got affected.
Sure.
You know, when I got sick and her being so close to me, that psychologically has an impact.
Yeah.
So let me stop you right there, for me. What I find, what I've heard,
important.
What I've seen, what I've experienced, I've noticed that when people are sick, if they have cancer, those closest to them seem to withdraw somewhat. Did that happen with you at all?
With me?
Not with you withdrawing, with people that you knew and you were close to.
Yes.
It did.
Yes, it did. Yeah. It did.
Is that a defense mechanism for them, you think?
Yes. Oh. And people, some folks came forward that shocked the heck out of me.
Mm.
You know, the nurses actually became a huge part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
Which were there a lot, you know. And they offered me a lot of comfort. The doctor, Dr. David Lee, he's now with Washington Hospital. He was amazing. His listening skills are beyond, and that's, but the nurses, and I still stay in touch with the nurses to this day. And then there's a friend of mine who actually was, her husband's the one who helped come up with the name of Drivers for Survivors, and you guys already know my daughter had a little bit of a hand with the logo. She didn't create the logo, she just gave us, she did a little artist rendering, but a woman by the name of Betty Simmons, she did the logo, the heart on wheels.
Yeah, I love your logo.
The logo, cool. You know what? The logo is truly, and then look at this annual campaign. LonnieFoster.com, he donated all this artwork, and he took our heart, and he gave it expressions.
The heart's coming, you mean the
heart on the top is
front.
Going with anxiety, fear, isolation, and then it's a cobblestone road.
Yeah.
In the, you know, and you see the sunset going down, and then on the bottom it says relief, hope, support, and then you've got the clouds and the clear sky, which is really the difference. And he was able, he was able to characterize exactly how you feel. Anyhow, people, some people were withdrawn and had a hard time with it, I think, because it scared them. It made them look at their own mortality. They weren't used to seeing somebody as vivacious as me going through something. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I was one of those people, hyper like I am now, right? But when that happened, you go through a lot of physical changes.
So you were not who you used to be when you were going through that.
Not,
who
well,
they
because
knew you
I
to
had
be.
Such a strong chemo, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I also, I tried to be, you know, as optimistic as I could, but it was scary. I'm not going to lie. I felt carried in a spiritual sense, but it still was scary. I'm a human.
Absolutely.
So that part of it gave me anxiety. It made me, I was only 43. I had, my daughter was 7.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I was seeing my daughter motherless, and you know, she'd already been through a lot. I didn't, this just wasn't something that you planned for.
Sure.
I had a vision of how my life was going to be. You in your mind, you mentally do these things.
Yeah.
You know, you imagine, okay, your daughter goes to college, you're sending the care packages, they get married, you live next door. I mean, it's kind of white picket fence, but you have this, you know, so when something happens that's so completely polar opposite of what you've imagined, I can't tell you I was 100% for sure, but I tried, and I had people around me that that did their best to kind of help me out. But it is a hard time on everybody, and the support systems are super important, and attitude really does make a big difference.
Oh, absolutely,
difference.
It does.
You can't,
sure
you
does.
Cannot get, all those things I described, you can't get lost in that.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to step outside of it, literally, like, step outside of it, and just keep going. You exercise, you know, whatever your doctor tells you can do, and you eat, you know, keep yourself going, you get your rest, and you try to find things that bring your mind to a better place, stimulated. I played online games. I love Canasta. I played online games.
Like every 88-year-old woman in the country.
No. And then when I got, when I felt scared, like in the middle of the night, if I got
haven't heard that for a while.
Me neither.
That's a Midwest. It's not an 88-year-old game.
Well,
it's a Midwest game.
My grandmother used to love Canasta.
There are not enough
rummy
people
tiles.
That play Canasta.
That's out like the two things I remember. Rummy
that's the first time I've heard that word in years.
Canasta?
Yeah.
I know. It's like backgammon. It's a lost art.
True.
It's a fun game and a lost art. I'm sorry. You
I'm done. I just think it's really important in defining the friends and the people around you. But what about those people that don't have that?
Yeah.
This is the whole reason. Let's dial it back to why we're here.
Yeah.
There are people that do not have all that healthy stuff going on where they can lean on them, and they are in their own head. And maybe this might be the only thing that they have to look forward to is this human interaction from their home, especially if you're senior.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got people who don't have a lot of money, right?
No,
and this
true.
Is free.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so I've had some people say, just charge $5, just, you know, and I've fought that. And I get, well,
what, really, you know,
well, it actually, to kind of have a little bit of a buy-in towards it. I mean, I cannot, $5 for somebody who is very poor could be a meal.
Yeah.
I mean, in when you're going through this, you know, you're worried. And maybe I'm in that sense, I am personalizing it. I can tell you I was a worrier. You know, I did worry.
Mm-hmm.
And I can put myself in a person's shoes of being in this situation, and they're looking at their bills climb. They're looking at their, you know, wanting to keep their health up. And that's the thing. You shouldn't have to worry about some of the basic things around you when you're trying to fight for your own life.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to be thinking about anything.
That should be the time in your life when you can
everybody
just
needs
relax.
To rally and circle around you, and they need to just build you up and do whatever it takes to get you for your personality type through it.
Yeah. The purpose of most nonprofits, obviously, depending on what it is, there's great purpose, obviously, that's what I meant to say, great purpose for every nonprofit and whatever it is.
Yeah.
But most times, it takes a little while to really find your true niche.
Yeah.
And this is very niche.
Your momentum.
Because it is. It's driving people to and from their treatments. Mm-hmm. You're not doing the treatment.
We just stay in our lane with what we do. Yeah. It's very linear.
I find that to be most impressive because this is such a major stress that is removed from someone who's dealing with this is life.
Yeah.
Now, to go into the other direction, having people that are willing, you were talking earlier about Daisy, who's not on the show with us today. Eventually, we're going to get her in here. I know we're going to convince her to come here with us.
Yeah, we've talked about her.
She's a huge help. So tell us, everybody should know Daisy.
Daisy's like a success story. So that's the cool thing about all this. You want to just build, it's about building people up, you know? So you get interns, you build them up, you get staff, you build them up, right? You grow them. So she went, and she's growing us. So she came in as an intern, then she became a program coordinator, and then I told her in advance, once we get the grant, I would love it if you would become administrative director. And, well, we got the grant, and lo and behold, she's administrative director. She is
wow. So cool.
She is flawless. I mean,
she's
you know.
She's been with you for a long time.
Yeah, she has. You know, she's definitely become, it's a partnership for real. She's amazing. Her husband does our website now.
Really?
Yeah.
So the whole family's getting involved.
That's nonprofit. That's the nonprofit mentality. You know, it's a village mentality. That's really something that, you know, I look at how I thought and the things I said when I started this, and I had it right for the most part, but I look at who I was then and who I am now in terms of the nonprofit mentality, and there's so much more to it, and, you know, it's so collective. Nonprofit is a collective world.
Do you look at other nonprofits for guidance, assistance? Do you guys work together, or is it sort of just you're in your own?
No. We're in the process of trying to create something even more local. So that would be especially for transportation organizations.
Very
there's
cool.
been talk of it. Yeah, there's definitely a sharing of ideas that happens and a collaboration that has really helped Drivers for Survivors, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I have mentors too.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of
that's
both.
Good to know, because I was like going to say, is there any you wanted that are worth mentioning that are doing, like, it's about you today. It's always about all, it's really about all of the nonprofits.
Believe it or not, most of them don't want to be known.
Really?
Mm-mm. No, they do it just because, and that's the truth, because they don't want too many people pulling at them. right? So if a person's giving so much of their time, and sometimes they're retired, you know, they don't necessarily want their name out there because they don't want to, you know, be tapped too much. They're just doing a little bit. Some of them have they're involved in more than one nonprofit, and they're just have a talent that they're sharing for nonprofits.
They're juggling their talents. So at the upcoming events, just to kind of focus on those for a second, believe it or not, we're running low on time.
Okay.
I told you it was going to happen, didn't I? Well,
I did.
You're right. For once, you were right.
But I want one more. I have one more thing to say.
Oh, that's right. I was just going to say the events, but we
shut the show down already.
Go ahead.
I was fully going to allow you. We had time still. I was just going to mention the events.
Okay, if we have time, a second.
Okay, go ahead. Give yourself a second to think, Larry. I know how it works.
All right.
The first event that's coming up, the next event that's coming up, is December 9th, which is the Drivers for Survivors second annual pancake breakfast.
Yep.
Santa's going to make time to be there for this. He's actually coming all the way to where is
pancakes.
It? It's in Newark, right?
Newark Community Center.
He's coming there, which is, listen, parents, is not too often in December you're getting
Santa touring
right. to California.
It's a really fun event.
So this is going to be great. And this is the second time?
It's the second time, yeah.
And it's a donation of $10 for an adult and $5 for a child, and it's going to be nice. Tell us about that
and
one.
William is building that. You can actually buy tickets ahead of time. We just keep a file with your name in it. But he's building, probably be in by the end of the week, the PayPal buttons where you can buy tickets ahead of time online, too.
Yeah, perfect.
So William's great. He's trying to modernize a lot of things, which is super. We really needed that.
I like your font, by the way.
Isn't that fun?
I'm a little bit of a font man.
Font's everything. I agree with you. Although, you know, you're not supposed to have more than two fonts, I guess, per document, which makes perfect sense.
I agree. It's hard on the eye.
Yeah.
Also, I'm just tired of everybody using like the same
regular.
This is
standard.
Sorry, I digress. Great event. Yeah. December 9th, 2017. It's at 8 a.m. to noon. Newark Community Center, Cedar Boulevard in Newark. But if you want info on this, they can go to Drivers for Survivors.
Yeah, Drivers for Survivors. The main things we have, Drivers for Survivors, the website obviously gives you the overview. Then we have a Facebook page, which has more daily kind of stuff. And then on the website, there's a sign-on sheet that you can get kind of the big ticket things like this annual campaign will be sent out. It will be sent out electronically. We'll be mailing it out, but there's a limited number we can mail out.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
So, but the electronic one, if you were to sign up right now on that, by the time the annual campaign letter came out, it would hit your mailbox.
Okay.
So, there's that.
And then the black and white ball is the big event.
That's
signature event.
The big kahuna. Yeah, the black and white ball is really fun. It's at Castlewood Country Club. And it is just a gorgeous location.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
We had a couple years ago, we had BMW sponsor for us. We're looking for a title sponsor. So both the pancake breakfast and the black and white ball, we're looking for sponsors. And because I've been working on the annual campaign, I haven't gotten to too much of that. So there's a lot open right now. It's
right.
going to.
Is that a winery next to that? Is there? I feel like Castlewood, right?
Yeah, there's wineries. It's Pleasanton's near Livermore, and there's a lot of
For some reason, I feel like that venue is right near.
There's a golf. It's a golf course.
Yeah, the golf course. It's a beautiful location.
I don't know actually.
But anyway, you can make it into a full day.
Yeah, you could. There's so much to do, and even downtown Pleasanton, where this is,
so cool, right?
Is gorgeous.
Yeah,
100%. I really like it. I hang out there myself.
If it wasn't so far, I'd go to Pleasanton and Livermore all the time.
It's not that far.
I mean, it's just a bit of a hike. It's about 45 minutes. I know, but in the Bay Area, you have traffic all the time.
Yeah. Regardless, nobody goes to
this is an event that I think people would get a complete understanding of what you do, but also it's a wonderful event with good food.
The food is fabulous, and there's just a lot of opportunity to mingle directly with the volunteers, with some of the clients, with the board members, with general public who's been impacted. You get a really good feeling. For a matter of fact, I've been told that people that have gone to a lot of galas really love our gala in particular. And the reason that I hear, this is what they say, is I love the fact that you guys are so, it's like friendly. You know, we're down to earth. We're not an arrogant organization. We're really cultivating friends what is the new term? Friend raising.
That's great.
It's fundraising is obviously incredibly important, especially right now, but friend raising is equally as important.
Warmth is important.
Warmth is important.
You guys are warm.
We are warm.
You represent,
I'm very proud of that.
Did you remember
represent the rank and file of humanity?
Yes.
And we strive for that.
That's
the whole goal, is to be able to, lead by example.
Did you remember what you had to say, Larry?
I don't forget anything.
Now you've got my curiosity. I really want to know.
It better be good.
It's not a major thing, but it's something that we struggle with here at the station, and we talk about it quite often. Because, you know, when we're talking to our listeners, and when it's kind of like, and you had mentioned, you know, you started this by yourself, basically.
Yeah.
Because you had struggled with cancer, you suffered with it, you know inside out what it feels like to be a survivor now.
And I didn't know anybody either.
No.
Imagine that.
Scary thought. So my question is this.
Yeah.
How can we get people more involved, not just volunteering, you know, to drive cars mm-hmm. or those types of things, but how can we just make them, how can we really send this baby home to them and make them really feel like they can make a difference, even if it's just them?
Do you know what? I love that question.
Best one you've had maybe in two years.
I love that
huh?
question.
That was your best question.
I love that question
years.
So much because I struggle with that myself. Sometimes I feel like cause being out there and living out loud within reason, as I say,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a desensitization factor that happens, and I don't want that to happen. You know, I want to keep that momentum going. I want to keep people excited because we've just tapped the surface. And it's sometimes, you know, I'll think to myself, why can't we just catapult this? I think that people, in order for them to want to be involved, they need to get excited. Now, I know cancer is not a glamorous topic, but just the knowledge that you're able to help people in a way that you can, this is life, you are saving a life indirectly.
Yep,
and if you
yeah.
really wrap your brain around that and get excited over the fact that you're saving a life indirectly by getting involved in this cause, I think that could help build excitement too. And also, there are people that have seen it where I have a picture that's from my home, right? And then there's a picture in the office with nothing in the office. And then there's a picture of a collective group of people.
Mm.
And they get to see that whole process. And I think engaging and following the story, becoming a part of the story, and not feeling disconnected, knowing that, you know, just because you're hearing me on the air, not feeling that you're a part of it. You need to connect people. We need to just connect. And
yeah.
and that's a part of it. And then the other part is probably having the conversations that excite on the other end of the phone. You know, well, I think maybe this might be a good idea. That might be a good idea. Collaboration is something that's very stimulating too. So
especially here, by the way.
Yeah,
Bay Area, a lot of collaboration.
There is, and there's so much potential. And I really love the idea of being around people who are dynamic and who have good visionaries and people who I must say I like to think big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't limit myself. I've been trying to get on the Ellen show I'm working
on
my...
Oh, yeah.
No, but it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
I don't doubt that it will.
I have an email, and all I need is my videographer. We're working on the video, and we need to submit it. It's probably a one-shot deal. It is possible because I believe that this matches. And it doesn't just have to be the Ellen show. I focused on that because I watch her show and I think, like, oh, she's just being so giving with, you know, she cares about nonprofits. But there's a lot of other opportunities out there.
There's always Oprah.
I'm not just – there's Oprah.
She's retired.
There's Oprah.
You're thinking big.
She's retired.
But why,
now,
why even
– what? When you've seen Oprah on TV, she hasn't been on TV.
I don't watch
years.
TV.
No, it's because she's been off for a while.
I've got other things.
I love opportunity, and opportunity is important for a nonprofit. And one of the things is we're open to it.
Mm.
We're open to anything and everything.
Makes
well,
sense to me.
That's good news because we're hoping we're going to get a lot of people to call you. Why don't we give the number again?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you
it's
want.
It's of course I do. It's 510-579-0535. And I'm going to even take it to the next level. My extension's 101.
Wow, you're giving your
Uh-oh.
Extension out. Big day here.
Wow, I remember
did it.
That.
I just did that.
We did it. And she just for it. People that are driving, and you might want to remember this, and it's easier to remember a website, just driversforsurvivors.org. It's driversforsurvivors.org. And it's easy. Just get in touch. Find what you can do, maybe talk to Sherry and see what might work best.
I think one other thing for people to know, and then I know we're limited on time for sure now, the other thing I just want everyone to know is we do work with other cancer-oriented organizations and partner.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's not this competition element,
right.
FYI. We're working, you know,
That's
we're
good that you
we're
say
We're partnering.
That.
I think people need to know
inclusive.
That.
Inclusive.
That's
very,
yeah,
I think
that's
that we're
important.
all working for a common goal here.
Exactly. For people who have been listening and you're kind of wondering what's going on, you've been listening to Sherry from Drivers for Survivors and a guest that's been with us now for a couple of years. We bring her in to talk about what's going on, and it seems like every time it's grown bigger and bigger. We appreciate you doing it with us, spreading good vibes, putting out the word for what you're doing, and we hope you'll continue to keep us in the loop because we want to grow with you.
You are my go-to radio station.
We
told you that.
Are.
You are. I will always, I told you this last time, whenever there's any big breaks, you guys get me first.
That's what I want to hear.
I mean it.
And we on the flip side, we fully encourage you to keep us in the loop so that we can help.
That's required, by the way.
And I usually do this, Larry. You want to share your last thoughts before we leave?
No, but I'd like her to share hers, though.
Well, that was going to be next.
Okay.
So you don't have anything. You're a man of a few words today.
Well, I listen. You know, I do. Yeah. I do. I listen. So I have a lot to say, but I can't say it now. You took up all the time. But, okay, my thought would be this. And it's basically the same for the better part. It's like I said earlier, you know, if you think that you can't make a difference, that's a lie. You're just being deceived.
That's true.
So please, whatever you do, I mean, this is one of our passions here, Cancer Is, with Sherry Higgs. It is a passion with us here at the station. So we would encourage you to call in, go to the website, do whatever you can to do, whatever you can to get involved. And make a difference, because it doesn't take much. Just make that first step.
I love that. And what about you, Sherry? Any last thoughts?
Really, it's a privilege to do service to the community and to be allowed the opportunity to be able to live a life of service has been a gift. And, you know, there's so much you get back when you give it. It sounds like just a cliche because you hear that a lot, but it really is true. You surround yourself with like-minded people. Yep. You get to really lift people up. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just feel grateful, and I appreciate you guys having me here for the third time. I feel like one lucky gal.
Well, we feel lucky, too.
I was just going to say the same thing. Your presence is the gift.
Yep.
The fact that we've been able to follow the journey alongside you in any way try to get the word out and help is something we enjoy doing, want to keep doing, and get more involved as we move forward.
I will tell you this. I have good feelings. Good things are going to happen.
I do.
We know that.
So thank you to Sherry Higgs, Driver for Survivors. Simple. Drivers, F-O-R, survivors.org. Go to the website, inform yourself, learn more about it, and thank you to everybody who's helped. Thank you everybody who continues to help and is about to help after today, now that they've learned more about you.
Yes.
And Larry, we'll be back next week with another edition of People Helping People.